Welcome to No Longer Conformed. My name is Eric Garthy, and we are studying Make Each Day Count, a glance at daily life. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 13, the power of words. Let's read our text. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning of verse 1. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." And then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodebar." And then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. And then David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And then Ziba said to the king, "According to all my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. The story of Mephibosheth's path, it was a sad one. When Israel was defeated by the Philistines on Mount Gilboa, and Saul and Jonathan were slain, he was a young child, and his nurse, in her haste to escape, let him fall, causing an injury which made him lame for life. This session considers how the word of a king brought healing, joy, and acceptance. For years, King Saul hunted David like an animal. When Saul died, David was crowned king of Israel. It was common practice in those days to exterminate all members of a previous dynasty to prevent any descendant from seeking the throne. As long as a member of that family lived, there was a threat to the new king. David had a different thought. "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" David made a promise to Jonathan, the son of Saul, that he would show kindness to the remaining members of Saul's household. He now intended to keep that promise. David's servants located a son of Saul, the son of Jonathan. We first learn of him in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled, and it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. He was crippled. living in obscurity and poverty in a remote corner of the kingdom. Once found, he hobbled into the throne room of the king. When he appeared before David, I'll bet he expected the worst. I'm going to be killed because Saul was my grandfather. But instead, David said, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." David's words were an expression of his love for Jonathan. His words were an act of grace. They were symbolic of God's love for us. They were a demonstration of love toward a man who did not deserve it and could never earn it and would never be able to repay it. David reached out to Mephibosheth, the cripple and outcast, and expressed kindness to him like he had never known before, expecting a sword to remove his head from his neck. Mephibosheth instead heard the unbelievable words of acceptance. What can we learn about the words from this story? First, dignity is a valuable asset. Look at verse 8. "And then he bowed himself and said, 'What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?'" The crippled Mephibosheth was an outcast, a leftover of the previous dynasty. He called himself a dead dog. He thought of himself as garbage, revealing his low self-esteem. He was totally surprised by the grace being shown him. Those words, crippled, outcast, dead dog, garbage, were not the words of David. The king thought of him as the son of his best friend. And words can change us. David's words changed Mephibosheth's life also. A kind word, listen, can restore one's dignity. Whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, lied. Unkind words can damage, but kind words can bring healing. Second, acceptance is a wonderful feeling. Verse 7. Verses 10 and 11, verse 13, "You shall eat bread at my table continually. Your master's son shall eat bread at my table always. He shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. He ate continually at the king's table." Mephibosheth's life had been one of rejection. He lived in obscurity and in fear. He felt lost, forgotten, and unimportant. David, in a gesture of kindness, reached out to him and restored him to an exalted position. 4 times in this short chapter, we're told that Mephibosheth ate at David's table. To eat at the king's table was not a temporary honor. It meant he would have a pension from the king for the rest of his life. For years, Mephibosheth had been crying out, "Somebody! Somebody!" The somebody who finally reached out to him was none other than the king. He not only helped him, he adopted him as a son. Think about life in the kingdom of God for a moment. We have a place at the King of Kings table for all eternity. God reaches out to people others abandon and grants them a place in his presence. And then third, restoration is a special need. Verse 7, "So David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually.'" David was not through with Mephibosheth. He gave him a new identity and a new position. He was going to provide for his needs, food, shelter, and financial resources. To restore someone means to put them back into their former role. What David did for Mephibosheth is what the father in Jesus' parable did for to the prodigal son. He inherited the riches of his grandfather. It was like winning the lottery for Mephibosheth. What about the people like Mephibosheth all around us? Some with broken hearts, others with damaged emotions, a few with crushed spirits, many with wounded bodies, and a lot with physical needs. Are we reaching out to them in Jesus' name? We all need people like that in our lives. And then fourth, kindness is a godly trait. Verse 3, and then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? God had demonstrated kindness to David in so many ways. His life had been spared on numerous occasions. He fought the giant Goliath and won. He had escaped the dangers of wild beasts. Now, David wanted to pass on that kindness. Those who have been touched by God's grace want to pass it on. Kindness originates from the heart of God. God is kind because He cannot be otherwise. It's essential to His nature. And likewise, that kindness becomes a part of our new nature that comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Kindness becomes a part of our conduct because our character is rooted in God. Think about it this way. As you live each day, at home, at school, at work, at church, wherever you are, you will find yourself in situations where you're asked to comment, to speak, to use your words. That situation is like a little fire. Not big, not out of control, not destructive yet. And you have a bucket in each hand. In one bucket is water, in the other is gasoline. At that point, you're given a choice. You can pour the bucket of water on the fire and put it out, or you can pour the bucket of gasoline on the fire and see it spread out of control. It's your choice. From which bucket do you draw your words? In every situation, you can speak words that bring dignity or words that demoralize. Words that show acceptance or words that communicate rejection. Words that restore a person to wholeness or destroy them to pieces. Words that are kind or words that hurt. Let me give you one last thought. You and I are Mephibosheths. Before we came into a relationship with the Father, we spend our lives distancing ourselves from Him because of our brokenness and shame. We feared that entering His presence would bring judgment upon our heads. When we were finally trembling at His feet, He reached to us and said, "Do not be afraid." He lifted us up and said, "I'm going to give you back. I give back to you everything you ever lost because of sin. I'm going to give you an inheritance, blessings, and riches in the heavenly places. But more than that, I want you forever in my presence, eating at my table, and I'm going to call you my child." You think about that, and you have a great day.